Amen. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Welcome to the first Sunday of 2016. And Christ is coming back sometime. So this is as good a year as any. But in case he doesn't come back, we can be really negative about that. So how about we start the year off right by thinking positively and expecting the best in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. And one of the best ways to do that, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we read, in everything, just complain incredibly. Oh, in everything, in everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we can look ahead and see nothing but the obstacles in front of us because we're human. Or we can put on the mind of Christ and think of all the good things and all the blessings we've been given. And so much to be thankful for, to be grateful for in this day and time and hour. So it's a matter, though, of what are we attracting? What are we doing with our minds? Go to Philippians 4. Because there is so much to be thankful for. I am thrilled the internal combustion engine has not been banned yet. Philippians 4. And sometime this year, Lizzie will get a driver's license. Maybe.
Sometime this year, I'll get my permit.
Maybe. Philippians 4. We start with verse 4. Philippians 4:4, we read, rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you didn't hear it the first time, I say rejoice. So how about that? Let's rejoice this year. You know, let's not get talked out of it, you know, by the second week of most people with their New Year's revolutions. If you read the comics today, there's a couple of articles that talked about, you know, it was one of the guys was quoting all the different revolutionary. It's like, no, it's resolutions, dummy. Not revolutions. So since I'm the only one who reads the comics these days, I'm the only one who gets the newspaper. So I'm showing my age. But that's okay. Last year I got officially old, so I can be senile this year. I got a lot to look forward to. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why? Why should we rejoice? Let your moderation, your gentleness, or your gentle forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. He's keeping track on you, whether you're naughty or nice. Oh, sorry, that's Santa Claus. The Lord is near. He's much better than Santa Claus. So, let everybody see your lifestyle of standing on the word. Why? Because you can be careful or anxious for nothing. One of the translations has it, you know, don't be distracted. I thought that's kind of a good way of looking at it. Because distraction is a huge part of, you know, your phone goes off all the time. There are a lot of things to distract you. But don't be distracted by anything. Don't be anxious for anything. Instead, in everything, by prayer and supplication, which is prayer requests, in everything by prayer and prayer request with thanksgiving, let your requests or your petitions be made known unto God. God knows you got needs, so you might as well talk to him about it. Because he might be able to do something about it. You know, imagine that. He might even answer your prayer at the right time instead of on your timetable, i.e. coming to Colorado later in the year than earlier in the year. Only because it was right. You know. So instead we can be anxious because the house hasn't sold yet. Or all these other things. But instead, we let our prayer and prayer requests be made known unto God. And then verse 7 happens. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Walter translates this as, and the peace of God, which is more excellent than every way of thinking, will protect your heart and your thinking in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which is more excellent way of thinking. Thinking about the peace of God. Thinking about what God accomplished in Christ. Thinking about what we have is much more excellent than the anxiety of the verse before that. And the end result, it will protect your heart and will protect your thinking. So, finally, brethren, here's a few things that we can think about this year. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest or honorable, think about honorable things. I know it's a political year, but we can think about honorable things, true things, honorable, things that are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, meditate, consider these things. So, here's some things to think about this year. And they're good things. And they will tend then for you having peace in your heart rather than thinking only about what's going on in the world and all the insanity out there. Because nothing changes from year to year with the insanity. Because the adversary is the god of this world. And he keeps the insanity out there. And he has people to report it to us if we allow it in. So, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do more than thinking about it. Do them. Practice them. And then the God of peace will be with you. I kind of like having the God of peace on my side. We could use that all the time. The God of peace shall be with you. When you think concerning the great things that God has in store for us and practicing those things instead of just talking about it. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. See, what it's basically telling us is, what is your focus? Our focus should be on God and on His Word and on the great things that are available, and then practicing that, helping people, being involved in the great things that can make this life a better life. 2 Corinthians 10:5, familiar scripture, says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So are you putting the knowledge of God first, or are you letting the world, the imaginations of the world and all the high false things that are exalting itself against the knowledge of God, is that more important? And instead of allowing the false reasonings of the world to take precedent, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So this is something then that it must be available to do. You can't blame it on, oh, I just got up and grumpy and I'm going to stay that way. No, you can change that thought. You can change that action. You can bring into captivity every thought. From the Greek translation of that, it reads, leading captive every kind of thinking in obedience to Christ. So whatever kind of thinking, whatever direction you want to go, you should end up back with Christ, because we don't have to suffer like He did. We don't have to go through what He did. We get to enjoy all the benefits. So let's go to Genesis 6, and let's look at a few records of people that were pretty thankful, okay, for different things that happened in their life. These are three illustrations, and then we'll talk about ourselves. We've got nothing better to do because the football game's not until 2 o'clock. So we'll look at a couple of examples here. Genesis 6. All right, verse 12, Genesis 6, 12. You think times are bad now. Genesis 6, 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted His way upon the earth. Now, that's pretty bad, Genesis 6, 12. Everything is bad. And you didn't need to have the news and the papers and the Twitter accounts to tell us so. God said, it's bad, it's corrupt. So God had a decision to make. You know what He said? Hey, Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to destroy them on the earth. So here's what I want you to do, Noah. Instead of you being destroyed, I'm going to let you live because of grace. Here's what you get to do. Make an ark of gopher woods, rooms, and He gives them an instruction on what all needs to be done. So He was given a 100-year project. This is what you get to do for the next 100 years. You get to build an ark and collect animals and let people laugh at you. Guess what? You get the final laugh when it starts raining. Oh, it's never rained before. You get the final laugh because God's going to do something different on the earth. So do you think He was grateful? Do you think He enjoyed the fact that, He's got to take time off to build an ark? A 515-foot boat, five stories high, collect all the animals, get the pitch right. I mean, he could rack up as much as his credit cards because it won't matter after a while. The bankers are all going to be gone. But God provided for him as he went along. Do you think he was grateful? I think he was very thankful. Look at 7:5. 7:5 says, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." So he did it. If he would have just changed one thing, used the wrong kind of nails or something, or he went with the cheapest bidder on the steel that he had in the ark or something, what would have life been like in the middle of that storm? Excuse me, Home Depot? Oh, you guys are closed. You couldn't fix it in the middle of it. So he did exactly what God wanted him to do. Look at 8:1. So now he builds the boat, he gets on the boat, and it starts raining, and things are pretty miserable outside. And so he's in the boat with his children and their wives and all the animals, and guess what happens? It rains, and it rains, and it wipes everybody out. And then God remembered Noah. And I just think that's so great. You know, God's playing Parcheesi with the angels. He goes, "Oh, yeah, I got this guy in a boat. Oh, yeah, I forgot about him." No, it's not in that aspect, but it's, again, it's all part of his grace and mercy that he had somebody left in which he could bless, that he could still take care of. One family of all of humankind was worth saving. God remembered Noah. And he remembered that Noah was in the boat with all those living things. So he said, "All right, it's time to get the water off the earth so we can start having more people around again." So 8:1 says that. Now we jump to 8:15. 8:15. So now it's a year. So in 14, it says, "In the second month of the 7th and 20th day of the month, the earth dried." And there's, as you do the calendars, it's the exact day that Christ got up. Many years later is the day he leaves on the boat. But God spoke to Noah and said, "Go, get out. It's time to get out of the ark. You take your wife, your son's wife with you, and bring forth every living thing with thee, all the flesh, all the birds, all the cattle, even those little creeping things that somehow are in that boat too, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth." And verse 18, Noah said, "Thank you, Father." I can say Father. "Thanks, God. I am getting ready to get off the boat." So he went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, and all the animals. He just didn't let them run free. Because what would happen if the donkey went that way and the other donkey went that way? He built pens, and they had, and he organized them and had them, have babies logically and reasonably so that they would be able to do exactly what he was asked to do about bringing the earth being fruitful and multiplying and all of that and breeding properly. So what does he do then in verse 20? He thanks God. Noah builds an altar unto the Lord. And he took every clean beast and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings unto the altar. Man, if you were one of those animals, you survived the flood only to be sacrificed afterwards. That's why God told them to bring 7 of the clean animals. So they were sacrificed afterwards. And so he built an altar. He sacrificed. He gave thanks that God allowed him to live. I don't know if any of you have God has talked to you for the next year, this year coming up, where you need to build a boat, unless you're Steve Carell. And the Lord smelled, verse 21, a sweet savor. God accepted the sacrifice. And the Lord said in his heart, "I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." You know, the man's reasoning, that's kind of a statement. God says, "I know I made man, he's dependent on me, but if he doesn't come to me, every imagination, every reasoning, every thought of his heart will be evil from his youth, unless he decides to change it, unless there's laws to keep him in place. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done, while the earth remains." Love that little, because it talks about in Peter what's going to happen. "But while the earth remains, despite global warming or climate change, we're going to have seed time and harvest. We're going to have cold and heat. We're going to have summer and winter. We're going to have day and night." There's 20 days left to save the planet, according to Al Gore. He said 10 years ago that it's all going to be gone in 10 years unless we do something, and that runs out in another 20 days. Gee, Al Gore is wrong again. Amazing, somebody so bright who invented the internet. All right, go to Jonah. Let's see what happens with Jonah. See if he gets thankful. All right, if you find Obadiah, it's the next book. Micah, Nahum. Oh, I'm too far. Jonah. It's on page 1002. You got Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. And then if you got Micah, you're too far. Okay. We start with Jonah. Let's see if he gets thankful. Jonah 1:1. It's really there. It's a little book, but it's there. All right. Jonah 1:1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And here's what God told him to do. Get up and go to Nineveh, a huge city, and walk through the streets and cry against it because their wickedness has come up before me. So, okay, Ed, go to Moscow and walk through it because their evil has come. Actually, go to Washington, D.C. That's even better. But here's the point. Go to the capital city of your rival and walk through it and cry that they're going to be destroyed if they don't change. Would you want to do that? No, you don't want to see your rival destroyed. So here's Jonah's thinking. What does he do in verse 3? Jonah rose up, and instead of going Nineveh, heading east, he goes west to Tarshish, Spain, from thy presence of the Lord. He went and ran away from God, because God couldn't find him in Tarshish. So he goes down to Joppa, and he books passage, you know, on the crown of Mary, and he starts heading to Tarshish. He paid the fare, and he went into it to go to Tarshish, and he was running from the presence of the Lord. Now, everybody knows the story of Jonah because VeggieTales tells it. All right? So, basically, things don't go well. They throw him overseas, overboard, rather. And in 2:10, we read, in 2:10, after a big fish swallows him up, and it says, but before he dies, he's going to be there 3 days. There's not a lot of air in the side of a mammal's stomach. And so he dies, but he prays to God. And then verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. You talk about having a case of indigestion. And he just, okay. And guess what happens? Jonah wakes up. Chapter 3, verse 1. And then the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, excuse me, didn't I tell you, go to Nineveh and preach upon it the preaching that I bid thee? And what does Jonah do this time? Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. So, you know, he kind of had his plan, you know, he thought he could run from God. God said, you ain't getting away that easy. And then, do you think he was grateful he got a second lease on life? He went and did it this time. He didn't try and run again. So he did what God wanted him to do. That was what he got to do that day. You know, go to Nineveh and cry against it. You know, he was the prophet. He was told to do something. He didn't do it the first time. But God, through his grace, allowed him a second shot at it. And he went and did it. He arose and went to Nineveh. He was pretty thankful for that second opportunity of life. There's times in our lives we do something and we botch it bad. And God says, mulligan, which is a golf term for if you hit a bad shot, you can hit a good shot the second time. It's not in the rule book, but it's in practicality, because you always hit bad shots. Unless you're Tiger Woods, but he does that now too. All right, go to Acts 7. Let's look at another one. So Jonah was pretty thankful to have a new lease on life, and he went and did what God wanted him to do. So we are now in Acts 7. And not 7, that ain't it. Boy, is that wrong. 27. We want to be in the middle of the ocean, or the middle of the Mediterranean for the perfect storm. And that's what's about to happen here. Acts 27. We'll pick the record up in verse 33. Things are not going well for our superhero Paul. All right, 27:33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all, take some food. This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, haven't taken nothing. Now, you've been on your boat before there, Aaron. Has you been in a storm for 14 days?
No.
No. Would not be good, huh?
No.
It would not be good. No. 14 days in the storm, and people are giving back their food, not really taking it in. And they're clearing the boat, and everything is bad. And here's what he said, verse 34. Wherefore, I pray you, take some food. It's for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he grabbed some bread. He gave thanks to God in the middle of the storm. It wasn't like all of a sudden got calm. It was still pretty, it was still raging out there. And they were below deck, and they were all together, basically. And he said, hey, you're all going to live. Get some food in you. And he gives thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they took some food themselves. Pass the ketchup. It was a wonderful time. But why were all these guys believing him this time? Why was Paul a little bit more thankful than the last 14 days? Let's go earlier in the chapter and look at, we'll pick it up in verse 21. 27:21. Okay. Actually, let's pick it up at 20 to show you how bad it was. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. It's kind of like sliding on ice, and you're just in your car, and there you go. Okay, all hope is gone. No, that's all you got left. God help. It's amazing how many times the car has stopped or things you've avoided stuff. After a long abstinence, and we just saw it's 14 days. Wait a minute. No sun, no stars. They had the perfect storm. And unlike George Clooney, these people came back. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, duh, you should have heard, listen to me, not have left Crete, and you have gained this harm and loss. Now, why would he say that? To taunt them? No, he's establishing that his prophecies had come true in the past. I told you what was going to happen. It came to pass. Now listen to what I got to say about the future. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. All right, how do you be of bad cheer and good cheer at the same time? You can't, unless you work, unless you're visiting where Julie's at, where she works. You're schizophrenia, in other words. You can only have one thought at a time, good cheer, bad cheer. He's like, get control of your thinking, is what he's telling them. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. You're about to get some good news. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but we're going to lose the ship. For how do I know this? There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. However, we're going to end up on a little island, Gilligan's Island. No, Malta. Hey, if you go to Hawaii, where Andrew's family's farm is, they take you on this little bus trip, and they take you over to this little area where they filmed 41st States, where the little restaurant is. 51st, yeah. Okay, that's where they filmed that, and then you get a little boat, and you go out in this little area, and you can see the backdrop for Jurassic Park there, but also Gilligan's Island's right there, too. They filmed that. So next time you're in Hawaii, you can look that up. All right, go to Philippians 2. God, you think, first off, Paul was really thankful after 14 days when an angel popped in there, said, hey, you're going to live, everybody else is going to live, God's grace, and have some food. All right, there's three great examples, Philippians 2, three great examples, Noah, Jonah, and Paul, of people being very thankful in very unthankful situations. So it's a matter of getting control of your mind then when we find ourselves in them and then giving in. No, giving in to the Word of God, allowing the peace of God to live, knowing the fact that God will do what he promises. Philippians 2:13 tells us, for it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So do all things without murmuring and disputing. God's working in the situation. God's helping. So quit complaining about it and do something about it. I mean, excuse me, Mr. Noah, but you're going to live and everybody else is going to die. So quit complaining about those 12, 16-hour days of building this boat, of learning how to make steel and all these other type of things that he had to do. Oh, excuse me, Jonah, but you want to live again? Then you better deliver the message this time. And Paul, you know, so we find ourselves, we can complain about what it is God's allowing us to do, or we can continue to live for him. And it continues on with the next two verses, just what Tom prayed about, and it was also mentioned again, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So, God's working in the situation, so quit complaining about it, and hold forth the word of life in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. And that's every country. That's all the world is that have turned their back on the true God. So, we hold forth the word of life, and you're going to get rewarded for it. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. We'll pick it up in verse 14. Colossians 3:14 says, "And above all these things, put on charity, put on love." When you find yourself in situations, we can always put on love. Actively put love on in our minds, live it, because it's the bond of perfectness. And then we can allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts, to the which we are also called in one body. So be thankful. You're called to the one body of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you then, richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatsoever you do. And now, here's a listing of some of the things we should do. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and don't be bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, because that's well-pleasing. God likes that when you're that way. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. It's real easy to discourage your children, so don't do it. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So basically, you servants, when you work according to the union rules. Oh, you work when the supervisor's around. No, you work not with eye service, not just because they're watching you, but God's there because you have a singleness of heart in your heart of wanting to be the best. Of you're working for God, not for them. And then whatsoever you do. So basically, back in 17, it says whatever you do in word or deed. Here's some examples of what you should do, and then it comes back to whatsoever you do. Like these examples, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance because you serve the Lord Christ. Christ is your Lord. That's who you serve. You'll be rewarded. And you know that, and that's why we work for him. Look at 4:5. 4:5 says, some of our goals then for this year to be able to do all those things would be to walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And we go to 1 Corinthians 12. Almost done. 1 Corinthians 12 we read. And you can read Ephesians 5 because it falls right in along this line. But this is a gentle reminder that it is the body of Christ, that we are working together. We are fellow laborers with him. 1 Corinthians 12:18. Just a great reminder. But now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. God has put you here for a purpose because it pleased him. So do what it is that you're supposed to do. Don't try and do somebody else's. Do what it is, what God wants you to do. And we close in Ecclesiastes 9. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes 9, with a great reminder that we only have one life. So, We'll start in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 9. What is the exhortation for 2016? The Lord should tarry. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. You know what? There's one event to the righteous, that same event to the wicked. One event to the good and to the clean, and one event to the unclean. To him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not, as is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there's one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil and madness in your heart, in their heart while they live. And after that, they die. They go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living, there's hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die. But the dead, they know nothing. But the dead know not anything. Neither is there any more reward for the memory of them is forgotten. You know what else is forgotten? Their love, their hatred, their envy. It's all perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that's done under the sun. So, we're 1 year closer to Christ's return. If it doesn't happen, we keep hanging in there doing things. So here's the exhortation. Go thy way. Eat thy bread with joy. Drink thy wine with a merry heart. For God now accepts thy works. Let thy garments be always white. Let your head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of this vanity, which he has given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. So whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, there's no device, there's no knowledge, there's no wisdom in the grave, where everybody ends up, unless Christ comes back first. So have a great year. Have a great life. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, and be thankful. Think positively. Look forward to each day. Because there's only so many days that we get to be a part of. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you that we can have the good and positive identity through what Christ accomplished. We're thankful, Father, that we can set goals and accomplish something on your behalf. We can speak your word boldly. We can live loving you, totally knowing that you've got the master plan. And we're thankful to be a part of it today, and that we're joyfully anticipating the return of your Son. But if not, we'll stand for you today. We can worship you today. We can love you. We're grateful for having this opportunity in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.